Well, good day to all our friends, our listeners, and this is Pearl Coupe on our regular radio program. I'm so pleased to be able to share a word of God, and I am so blessed. I'm not in my usual place of residence, which happens to be Pretoria, South Africa. I'm actually in Botswana, and I'm in the northern part of Botswana, in a place called Maun, which happens to be a tourist center. And where I am, I'm surrounded by animals, by giraffe, by kudu, impala, and it's just so beautiful. There's water, there's so much scenery. It's here that you can begin to remember that God is creator. And what is man? I mean, what is man that you who created all of these things, Lord, who are we? And surrounded by all this beautiful creation, I'm just so blessed to be able to have a time of rest and a time of reflection and meditation upon Him and His Word. To make sure, beloveds, that you, in this busy world that we're in, you find time to rest, you find time to meditate on His goodness, to find a time to do that every day. You know, just 30 minutes of your life, of your time maybe in, during the day. It's a great way to start the day, just meditating upon His goodness, meditating upon His grace, and just making sure that you are centered in Him. The Word of God says, in Him we live and move and have our being. So I just wanted to encourage you with that word before we get into our word for the day. And this week I want to talk about grace. The other day I was ministering somewhere and I began to share about grace, and I felt just led today to talk a little bit about what I was sharing on grace, because grace is widely misunderstood, and a lot of us live our lives, you know, thinking that we can abuse the grace of God. And it's important that we understand grace. Who is grace? Because I believe grace is a person. And how we receive grace in our own lives and make sure that grace works on our behalf. And how do we do that in terms of reaching out to touch grace and to receive grace? Because grace is received. If you don't receive it, grace cannot work for you. It's possible to reject grace. So we're going to have a little chat about grace. And I want to start off, first of all, by saying or defining grace. And I think a good definition that will help us start off our sharing is to say the grace of God, if we simply define it, we can define it to be the measure of the person, presence, and ability of God that is freely made available to members of His family in the person and influence of Yeshua HaMashiach, for the purpose of coming into His kingdom, living, serving, and demonstrating Him. So the grace of God is the measure of a person, first and foremost, and that person's presence and ability. The presence, person, presence, and ability of God. That's one. Secondly, about the grace is it's freely made available to members of His family in the person and influence of Jesus Christ for the purpose of coming into this kingdom to live, serve, and demonstrate Him. So that is grace in a nutshell. And I think a good scripture for us to start on is 1 Corinthians 12:9. And that scripture says, "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" So, grace, first and foremost, that we need to know is that it comes from God. Grace comes from God, beloveds. And grace not only comes from God, grace is God. Grace is a person. And John 1:16 puts it this way. It says, "Out of His fullness, the superabundance of His grace and truth, we have all received grace," which is Him. Because once we receive Yeshua, we receive grace. So out of His fullness, the superabundance of His grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace. And that really, when we talk about receiving grace upon grace, what have we received? We've received spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. We've received favor upon favor and gift heaped upon gift. So the first instance, we must know that grace and God are inseparable. When we come to God, when we come to God and we receive Yeshua HaMashiach, we come to Christ, He dishes out grace in heapings, in huge servings. And as we receive grace, we also receive spiritual blessings upon spiritual blessings. We also receive favor upon favor, and we also receive gifts heaped upon gifts. So Christ is our, what we could call, Christ is our grace dispenser. He is our grace dispenser. And grace also, as we've said, equals spiritual blessings, it equals favor, and it equals gifts. All of these things, spiritual blessings, favor, and gifts, are all a part of what I would call the grace package. It's a grace package. You cannot receive grace without receiving spiritual blessings, without receiving favor, and without receiving spiritual gifts as well. Second thing that we need to talk about when we talk about grace is that grace doesn't cost anything. We have so many people misrepresenting the gospel and charlatans out there who allege to be representing the gospel when in truth they are misrepresenting the gospel. And many people present the gospel as if you have to pay money to receive spiritual blessings, pay money to receive favor. And I want to say that grace doesn't cost you and I anything. You don't have to buy grace. Freely you have received of His grace, and freely, you know, whatever we've received of, we must also give of. And so I want to just caution us out there to say, be careful of those out there who make you feel like you must pay to receive grace. You know, we remember somebody in the Bible called Simon the Sorcerer, who came out of the occult, who came out of witchcraft. And we know by reading the account that he tried to buy the gifts of God when he saw the apostles of God operating in signs and wonders and miracles. He wanted to purchase those gifts. And we need to be very aware that when we receive grace, it includes the gifts. And the disciples, you know, when they were approached by Simon the sorcerer to say, how much can I buy these gifts for? You know, how can I get these gifts? What does it cost? They told him actually to perish with his money. They told him to perish with his money. And in this season, we must know those who try to sell his grace, which comes free of cost, will actually perish with their money. The next thing that we need to know about grace is that grace and power go together simultaneously. However, it's not about human power. It's about God's power. Where God's grace is, His power is also there. They're like twins. You cannot have grace and not operate in power. So when we receive of God's grace, we also receive power to operate in His grace. And like I've said, it's not about our own human power. It's not about our human effort, but it's about God's grace and God's power. It's a package deal. They're almost twins. Grace and power go together. And many of us, if we're looking for grace, it's not as a result of our intelligence, our IQ. So you may have a very high IQ, but it's not your IQ that releases grace on your behalf. So intelligence quotient is not going to release grace on your behalf. It's our relationship, essentially, with Yeshua that connects us to that grace. Many of us walk in self-righteousness. We walk in pride. We walk in arrogance. And that also will not activate grace. You know, we've seen the example of the Pharisees in the Bible. And one of the things that caused Yeshua to call them hypocrites and vipers is because they walked in that self-righteousness, in that, in that pride, in that arrogance, in that sense of superiority. And I want to say that when you walk in self-righteousness and arrogance and pride and think you're all that and think you know more than everybody and, you know, walk in being judgmental and condemnation and condemning and always criticizing others, that will not activate grace. In fact, self-righteousness, arrogance, pride, sense of superiority will actually repel grace. It will not attract grace. So grace is not released because of our intelligence quotient, our IQ. It will not be activated through our self-righteousness, arrogance, and pride, or sense of superiority, nor will it be released out of our religiosity. Again, the Pharisees were very religious. So sometimes we get very religious and we think that, you know, by doing certain things, doing certain acts, that it's going to release grace. No amount of prayer shawls, you know, there's some of us out there who think that just by wearing a prayer shawl that it's going to activate grace. No, a prayer shawl should not be used for anything more than a point of contact. There is no power in the prayer shawl, just as there's no power in anointing oil. It must only be used as a point of contact, not as a way of releasing power, because the power is in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So the power of God rests and is vested in us as human beings. We are the temple of his spirit, of his Holy Spirit. So we use shawls and things like that only as a point of contact, not because they contain any power. So grace is not activated by prayer shawls or however many bottles of anointing oil we buy. It will not release grace. So that's what we wanted to just share on this aspect, is that grace and power go together. You cannot have God's grace and not operate in his power. And grace is not released by our intelligence, our IQ. It's not released by our self-righteousness, arrogance, and pride. It's not released by our sense of superiority, nor is it released by our religiosity. But where grace is, power is also released. And where his grace is, his power also will function and will operate. Grace and power go together, and it will not be constrained by our lack of human power. Grace is able to operate in our human weakness. So grace is not constrained, it's not limited by our human weaknesses. It can function in the face of our limitations. So for instance, you may not be educated. It's not an impediment to God's grace working and operating in our lives. Your lack of education is not an impediment to grace functioning and operating in our lives. You may be unemployed. The fact that you're unemployed cannot demobilize grace. In fact, that weakness or limitation of unemployment can actually operate and provoke grace to operate on your behalf. Whether you're married or not is not a qualification to connect to grace. You may be a single person, a single woman, or you may be a divorced woman, like we read about the story of the woman at the well, who was not even just divorced once, but we read of her five divorces. And in fact, the sixth man she was with, she was not even married to, living in sin. But grace was still activated on her behalf. She met Yeshua at the well. So your marital status is not an impediment to grace operating in your life. Your age is not something that can disable grace. You may be young, you may be old, you're still able to connect to and receive of grace and find and see and watch grace operating on your behalf, regardless of your age. So your youth or your old age cannot disable grace. Your social status and standing and financial status is not something that can disconnect you from grace. So you can receive of his grace even if you have no money. Even if your social standing is not the greatest, you may be somebody maybe who's working as a housekeeper, cleaning houses, and you think that that is not a great profession to have. I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter what you do in life. As long as you are connected to Yeshua and in relationship with Yeshua, that is what now enables grace to be released into your life and grace to operate on your life. You and I are the only ones who can disconnect or remove ourselves from grace by essentially disconnecting ourselves from God. So grace can work on our behalf, beloved. Grace can operate and function in our lives, but we must connect to grace. We must connect to grace ourselves. Next thing I want to talk about is the fact that grace does not run out. We read the previous scripture in Corinthians, and that scripture that talks about the sufficiency of his grace. I'll read it again, 1 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me." So grace does not run out. His grace will always be sufficient for us. There is no shortage of grace. There will never be any shortage of grace. Our responsibility is to connect to grace, to reach out for it. Grace can never fail us. It is us, perhaps, who fail to reach out for grace. I was reminded, you know, one day, I'm not a big fan of wrestling. I never watch wrestling. In fact, I have very little time to watch TV. But one day I was watching wrestling. And as I was watching wrestling, I came across a wrestling match where they call it tag team wrestling. And the principle behind tag team is that you have two teams of two people each. So you have one team which has two people on one side and another team with two people on one side. And initially, you have a person and their opponent, and they will start wrestling. But the principle behind tag team is when one of the people or wrestlers is getting very badly beaten, they have the ability to reach out to their partner who is waiting on the, you know, wrestling ropes there, waiting to be tagged. Once the opponent who's being beaten can tag their partner now comes in and starts to now fight on their behalf, and they're coming in fresh, and they're able to overpower the other opponent. So there's a tag team. There's a transaction that happens that when the person is being beaten, they go to touch their partner, and their partner comes in to operate on their behalf and to take over the fight. And that's really, you know, when I saw that, God says to me, that's kind of how grace functions. When you feel like life is beating you down, when you feel like, you know, the enemy is hammering you, when you feel like sin is about to conquer you and I must go out and reach out to grace and tag grace. So touch grace, and grace is like a tag team. It comes in as you reach out for it. It comes in and it's able to function on your behalf. But you and I must reach out to tag grace. Grace has to be received. It is possible to reject grace. Grace is always there for you and I. Make no mistake about it. It is always there. There's no shortage of it. There's no short supply of it. It is always sufficient for us. But we must reach out and tag grace and connect to grace. If you're walking in pride, pride cannot receive grace. Pride will not admit, first of all, to weakness. So, and human weaknesses, actually, when we admit to human weakness, weaknesses can actually activate grace. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12:9 says, not only my grace is sufficient for you, but it's made perfect in our weaknesses. So when we acknowledge our own human weaknesses, that we cannot do it, and we reach out to tag grace, then grace is able to operate on our own behalf. When we acknowledge that we can't do it in our own strength, but we reach out for God's strength, for God's grace, then we're able to receive of his grace, and the grace is able to be activated on our behalf. So grace, grace upon grace. There are levels also of grace that we must understand. John 1:16 says, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. I like the Passion Translation. It says, and from the overflow of his fullness, we received grace heaped upon more grace. And so, beloveds, understand and know that as we continue to daily seek him, to pursue him, you know, as it says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all will be added to him. Part of what will be added to us, all will be added to you. Part of what will be added to us is greater levels and measures of grace as we continue to seek after God, to pursue him with a single-mindedness. We are able to connect to greater levels of grace, greater levels of grace. Now, the next point that I want to make is also understand, we must understand that grace is received and released for assignment. It's not just released for us just to say, oh, I've got grace. It's released for assignment. Remember, we started off this teaching to say, to define grace, to say that it is the measure of the person, presence, and ability of God freely made available to members of his family in the person and influence of Jesus Christ for the purpose of coming into his kingdom, living, serving, and demonstrating him. So once we've received Yeshua, then we receive grace so that we can live, serve, and demonstrate him. And so the next point I wanted to talk about is that grace is released for assignment, for assignment. Many people associate grace with sin. For instance, they think that you can only connect to grace when you mess up. No. In fact, to be perfectly honest with you, grace is not a license to sin. In Romans 6, 1 and 2, the scripture says, what then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may increase? Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? So grace is not a license to sin. And again in Romans 6:15, it says this, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? And then it says, certainly not. So understand that it is by the grace of God through faith in Yeshua that sets us free from the dominion of sin. So grace is not a license to sin. Grace actually, through faith in Yeshua, sets us free from the dominion of sin. And grace, as I've said also, is we should not associate grace with only sin, that we connect to it when we mess up. But grace, we receive of grace so that we can deliver on our assignment. So grace is received for assignment. Grace is received so that you and I can align to our kingdom purpose, to our kingdom mandate. Grace is received so that we can go out there and be bold to fulfill our specific mandate in life. Now, we know that we've all been given a purpose, the ministry of reconciliation. We must go out there and evangelize. We must go out there and preach the gospel. We must go out there and disciple nations in line with Matthew 28, 19 and 20. We must go out there in line with Genesis 1, 26 to 28 and have dominion and subdue and take authority. We must go out there in line with Luke 19, 13 and occupy and do business until he comes. We must go out there in line with Matthew 5, 13 and 14 and be the salt that adds flavor and be the light that confronts and challenges darkness and brings light wherever we go. And it will take grace to fulfill all of that. It will take grace. And on top of that, we are also called to specifically fulfill our own assignments in life. God has given each and every one of us a combination of gifts, a package of gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 6 to 8, we read about the different gifts, the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And all of us have that combination, that package of different gifts. And in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, we read about the redemptive gifts or the motivational gifts of God. And there we also see gifts of God that we have different packages of. And when we receive grace, it's so that those packages, those different mixtures of gifts in us can function, can operate, so that we can fulfill our specific assignment, the specific assignment that God has given each and every one of us to fulfill in our lives. In Jeremiah 1:5, God, you know, spoke to Jeremiah, and he reminded him that before he was formed, before you were formed, Jeremiah, in your mother's womb, he said, I knew you and I already ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah's assignment was as a prophet. He was ordained to function at international level. Each and every one of us, before we were formed, fashioned in our mother's womb, we were ordained with a purpose in life, and we were given gifts to fulfill that purpose, that assignment in life. So understand, beloved child of God, that God's not just throwing us out there to say, go and fulfill that assignment. I've ordained you. I've sent you out there for your specific assignment, and I've gifted you. God is saying also, I've released grace upon your life to fulfill that assignment. Remember at the beginning, we also said that grace, the package, the grace package includes spiritual blessings. The grace package includes spiritual favor. The grace package includes spiritual gifts. And so all of that, that favor, that those gifts, all of that, that the gifts, the grace that is released upon us is released so that you and I can function and fulfill our specific kingdom mandates, our assignments in life. And so with that, I just want to thank you. Thank you for joining us for this teaching. And may God's grace be released upon you. God's great grace be released upon you so that you and I can go out there receiving grace as a person, receiving the person of Yeshua HaMashiach. May we receive grace knowing that it comes from God. It doesn't come from the world. May we receive grace knowing that grace is a person, the person of Yeshua HaMashiach, and Christ is the grace dispenser. And as we receive grace, we receive spiritual blessings, we receive spiritual favor, and we receive spiritual gifts. May we receive grace knowing that it doesn't cost anything. We don't have to buy it. We freely receive of his grace. May we receive grace knowing that when we've received his grace, we've also received his power. We cannot have grace without his power. May we receive grace knowing that it can operate even in the face of our human limitations and our human weaknesses. And may we receive grace knowing that it never runs out. It is sufficient for us. We just need to reach out and receive grace. And also receive grace upon grace. It comes in levels. And lastly, knowing that grace is not a license to sin, but it is released upon us for assignment. So let's go out there knowing that we are in relationship with Yeshua. We've received him and he is grace. And we go out there to get that grace to operate on our behalf for our assignments and our alignments. And may you receive that grace for boldness. I love you with the love of the Lord and give God all the glory for your life. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Welcome to Ministries Radio Network. We are continuing part two with our co-producer, Kayla Padgett, on a topic we started, When It Does Not Make Sense. We're exploring the life of God's people in the 70 years Babylonian bondage. Listen to this.
Word toward you and cause you to return to this place. Now, verse 11, the one that we want. Let's read all of us together. For I know. You know what I love about that verse? I just love the fact that God has just given us a blanket cover promise. It doesn't tell us exactly what he's going to do, He's telling you about his thoughts towards you. And he's not telling you what are those thoughts. Let me help you so that you don't live a stressful life. If God says it's good, get the revelation, then it's good. When God says it's good, what is planned for you? Hold on to that, because it's good. And I know that to be good because I thought, let me pull out one character for you. I'll give you probably four of those, then I'll release you and let you go. Four. Let's start with, let's start with Hannah in the Bible. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 5. When God says the thoughts that I have towards you are good and not evil, hold on to that because it will. Don't be fazed by what's happening in the middle. Yes, in the middle, I know you could be discombobulated. You find yourself running up and down. You don't know exactly what's going on around your life, but hang in there. If God says it's good, it's good. Now, watch that. What the Bible says. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although, talk to me, although,
the Lord had revised his word.
Who closed the womb?
Oh.
What do you do when it doesn't make sense? And they're there, preachers, trying to preach that. Oh, you know the Bible the way it was written. You know, actually, the Greek, it doesn't actually mean the Lord. What does it mean? It says the Lord there?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's actually the devil. I'm telling you right now, listen to the verse. It says, although the Lord had closed the womb. Question is, why does God often close? And do you know when you read that yesterday, when you read that through that narrative, it will help you. Because there were two wives. Mm-hmm. There's Hannah and there's Penina. And the way it doesn't make sense is that Penina was popping out babies. 10!
Yeah.
On the ratio of 0. Come on. You think, oh, come on, boy. People are going to laugh at you. Like really? Like, not even one? And God says, I know why I'm closed the womb. Do you know why? Because during that time, Israel was going through another dark period. There are two sons of a priest, Hophni and Phinehas. Those boys were bad. When people brought in the offerings and the sacrifices, they would take the special part of the meat, feed themselves, their own ego. When the women would come, they would lay with the women right at the door of the temple. Now we talk about corruption in the house of God. And God closes the womb of Hannah, not because he doesn't care for Hannah, but he knows if Samuel, which was now the son to Hannah, if Samuel had come during this time of these boys, the dynasty of these boys of Eli would pollute Samuel.
Amen.
So if Samuel grows watching Hophni and Phinehas, the priests, doing silly things in the temple, the kid will be thinking it's good. God says, no, I'll hold mine. I'll keep the keys. So that Hannah, you keep on pushing. She kept on going to the temple, kept on pushing, went on to the temple, kept on pushing. And while is she keeps on pushing in God, Penina, the one who had children, was provoking Hannah.
Yes.
It's okay when they are talking.
Yeah.
But when they start talking, so you are holy, so you call yourself a Christian. But how come if you're a Christian, God is allowing this to happen in your life?
Yeah, that's right.
And I say to you, listen to me, it's a matter of time that when God closes the womb of Hannah, he knows what he's doing. He waits until the boys died. The moment the boys were dead and the ark was taken away, then Samuel is born. May I help you today? Sometimes God delays it.
Yes.
But God's delays are not God's denial.
Amen. Amen.
I can tell you another parable if you want. Are you still interested?
Yes.
Let's bring David. Brother David, come to us. When you go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, Prophet Samuel, is a boy, he comes in now as a prophet. He anoints David. And you know the story, don't you remember? There are seven brothers that walk by under the oil. And even Samuel is thinking, is that one? It's Shammah. Is this one. And none of them were qualified. Until a rooty, smelling, sheep's dung boy rocks by. Name is David. He's only about 17 at that age. And David comes to the place and the oil is poured on David. And he's anointed. But if you misread it, you rush quickly to be a minister and a preacher. Because before or between the anointment and the appointment, there is this phase there in between. For 16 years after the oil was poured on David, he's running away as a fugitive because Saul wants to kill him. What do you do? I thought I was anointed here. I thought it was a powerful ceremony here. Why am I still running away? Why don't you understand what's happening in my life? Because I thought God had a word for me and everything was working for me because he anoints you. But he doesn't appoint you tomorrow.
That's good.
That phase in the middle helps me to develop character or to develop the theorem so that the quality of the image that comes out there doesn't come out distorted picture.
Yeah, it's good.
But not only that, I can bring another character if you like. If you bring Brother Lazarus, because you say, oh, you're that all in the Old Testament, Brother George. Okay, fine. Let's go to the New Testament. I find it very interesting. Luke chapter 11 starts by saying, when Jesus wants to have chill time, he did not go to Peter's house. He did not go to Bartholomew's house. He did not go to Andrew's house. Even all those were precious. He did not go even to James' house. The Bible says when he wanted to have chill, relaxed time, he always went to Bethany. When he was in Bethany, he would stay with the Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. So Lazarus got sick. A telegram is sent to Jesus. Bro, Jesus, Bethany, now. Lazarus, sick. First telegram is ignored. I wasn't there, you were not there, so you don't normally descend, so go with my narrative. Second telegram is sent. Oh, Jesus, Lazarus, dying. Come. Jesus ignores the second one. And the third one, Jesus, Lazarus, critical. Jesus ignores the telegram, he doesn't come. And then Lazarus dies. A lot of the Pharisees in that time, the religious leaders, they are wondering in their mind, I thought Jesus used to come and hang around your house. What's this now? Where is he? And all of us, we struggle with those questions of the heart. Where is he when I needed him the most? And the Bible says, whilst he's there right at that spot, they conduct a funeral, Jesus is not even there. They encourage one another. I don't even know how they're going to encourage Martha and Mary. How do you preach in that funeral when God, who was supposed to be there, is not there? How about you say? So, anyway. So they are there, and after he is buried and put in the tomb, then Jesus walks up. It doesn't make sense to me. Why are you walking up after we have already buried We have already shared the clothes among the family relatives, and we've already popped up the wall of flat paper. Everybody's telling us that, oh, if Jesus loved you, where was he? Where was he? Where was he? But how many of you know? God is never late. God is never late. He's always on time. So we learn a principle right there. That Jesus calls Lazarus, we have died in the tomb. So maybe it's important for you to know that sometimes God allows things to die in my life to prove to the devil that even if it's dead, I am the resurrection and I am the life. So whatever is dead in your life, whatever you see is gone and dusted, I want you to remember what God is able to do. Between verse 4 of Jeremiah to verse 11 of Jeremiah, ladies and gentlemen, there is a part that you and I need to understand what God wants to do. Number one, I therefore believe that God allows, we call it the permissive will of God, because it's what God allows to take place. But when God allows it to take place, he doesn't allow it to take place because he hates us. He allows it to take place so that we can realign and reset our lives back to the perfect will of God. Because the perfect will of God is that which God has intended for your life. So where you are right now in your life, if you're still enduring the permissive will of God, you say, oh, this is hard, this is painful, this is difficult. Always remember that his will over my life is for me to enjoy the perfect or the divine will of God over my life. It will come to pass in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want us to come before God in prayer, probably with this thoughts this morning. God allows bad things in my life because the only way he will have the final say, it is when these bad things take place. And in that moment, you as a child of God, don't worry, don't be anxious, don't allow your mind to be taken in places where the peace of God is not. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 26 verse 3, my favorite verse, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on God, not on your stuff, whose mind is stayed on him, because he trusts in me. Close your eyes with me. How are you doing in your journey and in your walk with Christ this morning? Where are you at as we walk with God in this very time? Because the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, while we may not know how to interpret what's happening in our world in the 21st century, God is saying to you and I today, make the best out of this difficult situation. That's what God is saying to you. God says, while you don't understand what's happening around your life right now and what's happening in our world, be at peace with it if you want peace from it. Because the only way you and I can enjoy what God's perfect will is for our lives, let us become custodians of embracing and holding on to God in the most of the difficult times. I'm learning as I walk with him. The bad things in my life are not outside of God's control. The bad circumstances and the situations that you are going through in your family are not outside of God's control. I declare, therefore, over your life a resetting of priorities. Go back to family. Value your spouse. Value your children. Build in the family front. Love God first in the home sector. And God's assurance over your life will be, the plans I have set for you, I will fulfill them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Give me vision.
Thank you, Lord.
To see things like you do. God, I look to you.
Thank you, Lord.
You're where my hope comes from.
Thank you, Lord.
Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. God, I look to you. I walk beyond the world. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. Just what to do, I will love you for my strength. I will love you for my shield. And I
things you can't change with your mind thinking. You can't fix tomorrow because you are not there yet. You can't fix next week, you are not there yet. But here's the good news. It is called the Ancient of Days.
Amen.
Because he was there before the beginning was.
Amen.
If he says to you, don't worry, don't worry. Your mind, your body, and your soul, God created them in such a way they can only take what they are supposed to take. When you put them on overdrive, and you worry, and you are anxious, and you think that, then your body begins to respond by shutting down.
Yep.
So before you blame the devil, let me help you. Do your part, and here is your part. Lord, help me to prioritize my family. Let me learn to pray first with my children. If you're single, Lord, help me to prioritize with me. My relationship with you is more important than anything else and than whatever anybody else thinks about me. Before TikTok, it's you and me. Before Instagram, it's you and me. Before Facebook, 5,000 followers, it's you and me. So therefore, I am not moved much by what they think about me. It's you and me. Let's reprioritize that today. God says, build houses. God says, look at your life, prioritize on those things that are important. Second thing that I want to remain with as we pray. Faith that works only when you are in desperate situations. That faith is not sustainable. If you go to God desperately holding on to your faith, suddenly you've got faith when things are tough and difficult. When the divorce orders are now coming through, and when all hell is breaking loose, automatically you've got this massive faith. That faith is not sustainable. Here is the sustainable faith. Have faith in God in good times. Have faith in God when everything is perfect. Have faith in God when all hell breaks loose. Don't use God only when you are desperate. You are rising up in your faith and all in tears with fasting and prayer. Teach yourself to love him with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul. So to everybody that is anxious here today, and to everybody right now that is caught up in a rock and hard place, and you don't seem to be understanding, how am I going to live my life? How will I live tomorrow? I want you to hold on this simple principle. Love him with all your heart, with all your strength. Why don't I allow you right now just to sing a simple song that we have used every time, and we sing it quite often, but it's a very old song. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because it's gone, because I know he holds the future, and
amen. Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. This was the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo on our once again Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network, and our co-producer Kela Paget bring you on this weekly program, Empowered for Destiny. This is the voice of destiny. See you again next week.
Produced by Kela Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.